Morning, KBC.
Good morning, Alex.
So when I was in high school, my grandfather's wharf got destroyed by the ice continually beating up against the wharf over winter. And so this one summer, my grandfather, in all his wisdom, decided he was going to beat Mother Nature, and he was going to build the biggest, baddest wharf that would sustain through the rest of his life. And he wouldn't have to replace it. So we were out in the woods, and we're cutting these really big logs, and we're gathering them. And we get out, and we finally decide that it's time to build this wharf, right? And so we're there, and the beauty of this is we've measured everything out. The wharf goes out so far, so it has to be so high. And about halfway through, I'm up on top of the logs. And I'm there, but I'm not really there, right? Like, I'll be honest, I don't know what I was thinking about. It might have been a pretty girl. Or it was just math homework, because that was something I struggled with too. So I'm standing on the top of the wharf, and I'm drilling a hole through the top. Because what we're doing is we're sticking the logs on top of each other. We thought we'd get really big logs. The ice is not going to beat it up as quickly. It's going to last longer. So I'm drilling this hole through the top of the log, and at that moment, not really thinking about what I'm doing, I go to step down on the log lower down, and the log's on this side, not on this side. And I see my grandfather reach out to grab the drill as I fall off the end of the wharf. And the beauty thing is, I'm standing on the end of a wharf, right? And even though it's high up, I'm going to land in the water. However, the water is just deep enough to get me soaking wet, but not deep enough to break my fall. And so I hit the water, the breath comes out of me, and the water comes in. And I stand up, I'm choking, and I look up, my grandfather's like, I got the saw, or I got the drill. Excellent. So today we're going to talk about being present. And we're going to do that by looking at the day of Pentecost. This is arguably one of the most important days in church history. See, Pentecost is the beginning of a new era of the Spirit. And although his coming was a unique historic event, it is because of this event all people of God now and always and everywhere benefit from his ministry. John R. Stott says, without the Holy Spirit, Christian discipleship would be inconceivable, even impossible. There can be no life without the life giver, no understanding without the Spirit of truth, no fellowship without the unity of the Spirit, no likeness of character apart from his fruit, and no effective witness without his power. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church is without the Spirit is dead. See, Pentecost brought the apostles the Spirit. And with the Spirit, they got the equipment they needed to do the special role that God had destined for them. The equipment that we still have today. Now, the day of Pentecost was filled with some pretty amazing things, and some of those things were abnormal, like the wind and the flames. However, the new life and joy and fellowship and worship, the boldness, freedom, and power are not. And that's what we're going to dig a little deeper into today. From this moment in history, the Spirit and his presence became a staple of the church. Today, there are still some amazing things the Spirit still does with us. When I first came to KBC, I heard of the Spirit leading our old pastor Jonathan towards studying governance of the church, which ultimately led his wife and him overseas. Now, you might not know this, but this is not typically the area of study that would lead somebody overseas, right? Like, normally you study missionary work, right? However, that's the beautiful thing about the Spirit. He works on us in ways that we just don't understand. And sometimes in ways that we don't understand until years down the road. In Acts 2, the manifestation of the Spirit in this passage is wind, tongues of fire, and tongues. That's not always the way the Spirit works, even in Acts. See, in Acts 2, 37 to 41, and 10, 44 to 45, deep conviction is given through the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 13, 2, when it says, while they were ministering, to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Here we see the Spirit giving guidance and direction. In this case, placing an interest in Pastor Jonathan's heart ultimately led him where God planned him to be, all because he was present with the Spirit and thus open to his promptings. Now, similar to Jonathan's experience, when I first came to KBC, I chose to change very little about our youth ministry, our youth group, for the first entire year that I was here. For I think it's important when in a time of transition, for our students, less change is better. I wanted to keep things as normal as possible. I was there, so it wasn't too normal. However, I was guided by the Spirit to introduce worship into our youth group. First with a solo guitar player with a mic, which was Jess Gibson. And she did an amazing job leading our students in ministry, in worship. And others came later, like Alex McMoran and Chris Ramey. And then we had students join in. Most weeks just on drums and piano. But we never had any of our students leading until this past year. We ended up finding ourselves without any adult worship leaders. And again, I felt the need to call on the students to listen to the Spirit's prompting, to become worship leaders themselves. And this morning, you guys get to see the fruit of that Spirit's prompting through our student worship band. See, the Spirit still moves today. It moves in us. It's with us. And one of the things I want to point out about our passage today is when we typically talk about the day of Pentecost and the movement of the Holy Spirit in this particular instance, we start at Acts 2. However, I think it would be misleading for this passage to begin with when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. See, with this language, without knowing the verses that come before it, it almost makes Pentecost seem to have happened to have happened, right? Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Man, that's a beautiful thing. But that's the end. Like that's there was a journey to get to that point. When we start here, we miss important information leading up to this event. Instead, I want to take a step back. I want to go one chapter before, and in Acts 1, 7 and 9, Jesus is about to leave, and he's about to be taken up to heaven, and he says to the disciples, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from his sight, hid him from their sight. We know that Jesus was crucified on Passover. That is 50 days before the festival of Pentecost. And Jesus ascended 40 days after his resurrection. So that means when Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit, that the presence of the Holy Spirit would be amongst them, to the coming of the Holy Spirit, it was 7 to 10 days later. What's going on during this time? What are the disciples doing during this time? Well, Acts 1, 12 to 14 has the answer. It says, "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk away from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they're staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." See, Pentecost doesn't happen by happenstance. It happens because the disciples are present in his presence. For 7 to 10 days, the disciples spent their time in constant prayer, fellowship, and discussion amongst each other. Now, I want to be clear, there's no denying that the Spirit can move even though we're not fully present. I mean, in fact, I'm here today because the Spirit chose to show up in my life even though I wasn't present. For those of you who know my story, I spent the first year of my Christian walk pretending to be a Christian, going through the motions, walking through, doing all the right routine things. And one worship night, the Spirit said, you know what, enough is enough. And as the song, Holy Spirit, come fill this place, fill this atmosphere. In that moment, I actually, in my mind, imagined the roof of the church being torn off, and the Holy Spirit as a cloud of smoke coming down the edges of the wall. And I seen the room fill up with the Holy Spirit. And when that smoke reached me in my vision, that was the first moment that I felt the Holy Spirit move. So there's no doubt in my mind, because the presence of the Holy Spirit is here today, that He can make His presence known even though we aren't present. God doesn't need us to move mountains, but He wants us present in helping move those mountains. Now, I said presence a lot, right? Being present. So what do I mean by present? Well, I mean being here. I mean being here now in the moment. Being present means seeking out the Spirit, seeking out His voice, seeking out His guidance. See, the best part about being a youth pastor is getting to work and learn from our students. I've seen these students learn about God's presence, seen these students seek that presence in worship. And when we talked about making a student-led worship team, I've seen them get excited about leading other people into His presence. See, our students learned very quickly to be present in His presence. To not let the daily commotion of the week get in the way of the moment they are in right now. Present in worship, which led them to getting familiar with His presence and led them to want to share that presence with other people. And I think our issue as we grow older and we continue to do the things that led us to the revelation of His Spirit in our lives, we tend to become less present. We worship every Sunday. We do communion every month. We volunteer every week. And it becomes routine. It's what we do. But we are no longer present. Now, this happens to varying degrees, and for some of us, it doesn't happen in all areas. But this morning, I want to challenge you with a question. Where aren't you present? I can tell you by the time I reached Tyndale, I can't tell you how many times I'd done communion at that point, but it was a ton. And one chapel service in the morning, I was challenged by someone whom I respected if I was present during that communion. And of course, my initial thought was, if he didn't realize I was sitting beside him, he might have got hit a little bit too hard in pickup ball hockey last night. But he was challenging me in a deeper way. Was I actually engaged in the act? And being open to the Spirit's movement, to the Spirit's guidance during that time? Or was it just going through the motions? Was it just the routine? See, that was a hard challenge for me, because I wasn't. It was something we just did on Sunday mornings. And I want to pass that challenge on to you guys this morning. Where is it that you might need to be more present? Maybe it's not communion. Maybe that's not where you have the challenge. Maybe you do seek out the Spirit's guidance in that moment. But what's routine now? What shouldn't be routine in your life? See, the Spirit is always around, and He was given to the disciples to do some pretty amazing things. Things that He's still able and actively doing in Christians' lives today. See, the Spirit came to us to complete His mission. All right? The mission of the church. And if we are not present with Him, we will miss the tools that He gave the disciples, and in return, us today. See, the introduction of the Holy Spirit made the disciples more like Christ, or at least started to. In fact, we see a dramatic change between the disciples who continued to get it all wrong. How often does Jesus have to rebuke them? And the disciples who started the early church. See, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, making them and us more like Christ. The Spirit gave them and us now the power to witness. In Acts 1:8, it mentions the Holy Spirit empowers Christians to be effective witnesses for Jesus. The Spirit also guides us into all truth. In John 16:13, Jesus tells us when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide us into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He wants to guide us in the directions we need to go. The Spirit also convicts us of sin. And this is in tandem with making us more holy, more like Christ. He convicts us of our sins. If we have sin, which we do, He will bring those sins to our attention. And this is the area that I was convicted of when it came to communion. Where was my heart? Was it present in the Holy Spirit? Was it open to that guidance? Was it open to that prompting? Letting Him speak to me about where I need to grow, or was I just not present and instead of thinking about work on Monday? See, the Spirit reveals God's Word to us. Jesus had to leave and send a helper to replace Him. Well, what did Jesus do the whole time He was on earth? He taught. This is how the Holy Spirit continues to work today. The Bible is understood through the Holy Spirit, and if we tackle it as a routine and we aren't present in seeking the Holy Spirit in it, we're not getting everything He wants us to learn. And lastly, the Holy Spirit brings us closer to other believers. See, the book of Acts describes the early church after receiving the Holy Spirit. It was a church that was united. It was the Holy Spirit who brought that unity to fruition. The unity that we need in the body today. When it came to me in communion, I was doing a routine, not opening myself up to helpful prompting on where I needed to grow or what I needed to turn away from. This challenge prompted me to think about other areas of my faith walk, other areas of my life. Do I include the Holy Spirit in my devotions? Do I include Him in my daily conversations? Do I include Him at work? Am I present with Him in all times, open to His movements, even when I don't expect Him to speak? Has everything become a routine? That's my challenge for you guys to process this week. The Holy Spirit is always present, but are you seeking Him at all times? What has become a routine? When Jesus left, He gave us the Holy Spirit to continue to help us and guide us. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's here today. His presence is here today, asking you to be present with Him. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank You for who You are. I thank You for the change that You wanted to make with our walk with You. Father, that You wanted to indwell us with the Holy Spirit, that You wanted the Spirit to be amongst us and moving in us today. Father God, I just lift up everyone in this room and everyone at home to be prompted by You right now. That if there's something in their lives that they need to open up more to You, if there's anything that's become routine, whether it be reading their devotions or worship on Sunday morning, prompt them right now, Father. Just tap them on the shoulder and let them know that you want them there. You sent your son to die on the cross because you want them here. You want that relationship with them. So I pray you be with them now. You give them guidance and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.